The Director Podcast, episode number 7, March 8th, 2006. Hey everybody, this is Skip, and I'm here to discuss everything director related. That's right, a podcast finally dedicated solely to the software that you love to use. Hey there, you director freaks. Welcome to episode number 7 of the Director Podcast. This March 8th, that's right, it is Wednesday, 2006. And boy, do we have a show for you guys today. We have an interview with Tom Higgins from Adobe, and it really is a good one. It's about a 40-minute interview, so you know what? We're going to kind of skip our regular format. We're only going to cover a few things here at the beginning of the show, just a few notes that I like to talk about, and then we'll get right into the interview, and we should keep this show under 50, 55 minutes for you. So that's pretty much what's happening here at Magic Gate Software. For those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Skip Kimple, and I own and operate Magic Gate Software down here in a little chilly Fort Lauderdale, not that chilly, but definitely sunny, definitely dry, and it's never a bad place during spring break down here, trust me. We were on the beach last night, just walking around. My wife and I went down there and had dinner, and I remember being here during the heyday. I came down here from Wisconsin. That was my first experience. I guess I was 18, and the heyday of the spring break in Fort Lauderdale, let me tell you, there was nothing like it. I think I was reading in the paper the other day, on their highest peak, they would have 350,000 college students come down here for spring break. And this year, they're only expecting, I think, a maximum of like 55,000. So anyways, they're trying to appeal to a more upper scale community down here. Whatever. Let's totally got off the subject there. But anyways, that's where we're from. We are from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we welcome you to the show, those of you tuning in for the first time. We have 6 previous episodes. You can actually go to our website and listen to those previous episodes. And you can find our website at www.magicgate.com. Now, let me tell you what I've been up to recently. We have done a ton of interviews, and we've been lining up a bunch of more interviews for the very near future here on the Director Podcast. Let me tell you what we have to expect. Under our belt, in our bag, ready to go, we have an interview with Gary Rosenzweig. We have an interview with Gretchen McDowell from Update Stage. And we have an interview with the guys at CXtras. That's CXtras.com.net. The guys that make all those extras over there. Man, and they have a ton of extras. So We've got interviews already done with all those guys, and we have a few more lined up, which I'm going to mention one in just a few minutes here. Let's see, what else do we have coming up? Episode number 10. This is episode number 7. Episode number 10, which should be the last Wednesday of this month, we are planning to do an entire episode all about Integration New Media's Impresario Extra and all the things it can do, and maybe we can get some tips and tricks. We're trying to line up an interview with Gabrielle Krim over there at Integration New Media, and that should not be a problem. We started the email communication already, so she'll be on that show. Along with, we're trying to line up some of the contest winners from last year's Impresario contest. So we're going to get in contact with those guys, maybe get those people on the show. And this should be a pretty good show because we get a ton of email all about questions about Impresario. So we're basically filling your requests and doing a show all about that. I just want to mention once again our contest. Our contest entries are a little light so far. I don't know if you guys are scared to enter or what's going on. We've had a few contest entries, which I will read off here in a second. And let me talk about the contest first. A contest we're looking for is the most unique application written in Director. We will score this based upon several criteria. And it is sponsored this month by MediaMacros.net, who is offering up to the winner The Word Wrangler Extra or the Firefly Lite Extra, your choice. So once again, the contest is sponsored by MediaMacros.net, and you don't want to miss out on the opportunity to, hey, you can get a free extra. Come on, send us your files, even if you don't think it's unique. Send us your contest entries. We want to hear from you. And the three entries that we've received so far is from Jake Grandchamp from Rabid Lab, and he submitted a game called Dodge That Anvil. And we have Jerry Goldstein from a company called Just Jerry, and he sent us a very unique email application. That was very cool. Michelle Simmons, no company name, sent us a very nice 3D application that she wrote. So once again, we've only got three entries so far, and it is the first week of March, so I guess I can't get on your case yet. But remember, you've got some good prizes in store for you, and you got a good chance of winning. So make sure you send in your entry as soon as possible. Right now, I would like to change things around in the show. I said I was going to take some stuff out of the show, but this is going to be a permanent change. We're going to move the listener feedback towards the top of the show because a lot of times we end up answering the questions from the listeners throughout the show. So it makes more sense just to move everything up to the top of the show before we begin anything else. Our first comment comes to us from Mario in Atlanta, Georgia, and he says, "Awesome podcast, dude. Keep up the good work." Thanks, Mario. Appreciate that. Next up, we have Hans from Germany. Now, if those of you who remember last episode, Hans was having a problem listening to one of our podcasts. And you know what? He did find a dead link that we had mislinked up. So we fixed that. Hans, thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. And why didn't the rest of you tell us about it? We had to wait for somebody all the way from Germany to mention it to us, but that's all right. This time, Hans wrote us again and said, "In the last few days, I have had time to listen to your director podcast, and I was very surprised that you mentioned my problem with the link." Yeah, that's the daily problem when you live on the other side of the globe. Actually, he's referring to, he was actually looking at not only a dead link, but we found an issue where some of the pages weren't caching quick, they were caching in people's machines and not refreshing quick enough in the browsers. So if you came back and looked for the next week's episode, you'd still see the previous week's episode. So we've changed some options in our coding, so that should cache out much quicker. Anyways, all right, he continues to say, "Okay, I have an idea for you. Talk a little bit about Shockwave. Let me tell you what I'm talking about." Now, you have to excuse me, Hans. I appreciate you writing from Germany. I'm just mentally translating in my head here some of your English phrases. So there's nothing wrong with what you sent me. I'm just trying to make it understandable to the rest of our listeners. Hans says, "When I saw the first Flash, not Shockwave, animations on the web, it was so amazing he was so amazed with Flash that he was desperate to learn Flash. And director, apparently he only knew a little time. But when I was on a cutting level in Flash, it was boring for me." All right, so he'd experienced Flash, tired of it, not exciting. Now, he then lists a couple of website addresses, which I'm going to put in the show notes because there's some Shockwave stuff here that is really cool, some really fun stuff. And Hans, I appreciate you sending me those Shockwave links because those are really, really nice. So thank you once again, Hans, for your email comment. We certainly do appreciate it, and we definitely appreciate you taking the effort to get your English across to us, and that is not a problem at all. Next up, we have a voice comment from Marcel. Let's go ahead and play that.
"Hi, Skip. It's Marcel here from the UK. First things first, thanks for putting this podcast together. Excellent work, man. I'm working on a kiosk type project and may soon need to be rolling out to quite a few sites. I was hoping to use the iMac G5 machines, but they're soon going to be out of stock. So that leaves me looking at the iMac Intel or possibly the Mac Mini Intel machines. My question is, how is Director performing under Rosetta? I'm understanding that it takes quite a performance hit in translation, but is that compensated for with the hike in processor power? Many thanks, Skip. Keep up the sterling work.
Thank you very much, Marcel, for your voice comment. We certainly do appreciate you taking the effort to call us in. And let me give you what I've discovered with what's going on with Apple so far. I did see that the Mac Mini was released with the dual Intel Core processor in it. That intrigues me very much. We currently have a Mac Mini. We're pretty much a PC-based development house. However, we have a Mac Mini here to test all of our stuff. As a matter of fact, I do all my podcasts on the Mac Mini, and I'm developing a little bit of a love affair with the Apple whole Apple thing. It's really cool and clean for certain things, but I'll always be a PC guy. But I do like the new Mac stuff. However, get back to your question. We developed a few kiosks that use the Mac Mini, and I like that option because it's a very sleek, very small footprint. I mean, look how small the Mac Mini is. And it's got USB ports, and you can hook up, you know, touch monitors to it. It's a very versatile, compact little unit. Now, in regards to how Director performs under Rosetta, I do not know yet. I have yet to go out and buy the new Mac system with the Mac Intel chip in it. So I can't give you a heads up in that. I have looked around a little bit, and I do hear it slows down a tiny bit. I don't think it's going to be drastic, though, because I think you're really compensating with the speed on the new Mac systems. So I can't imagine that being an issue. The one issue that you do need to be aware of is the compatibility issue with extras. So just keep that in mind, Marcel. And, you know, there's unfortunately not enough data out there that's been collected that we can really give you a heads up on. But I hope that answers some of your questions. I do like the idea of using the Mac Mini for a kiosk. It's a very cool option. It's very reasonably priced, very compact. You can fit it in the slimmest of kiosks. So hopefully that will help you out. Thanks again. Next up, we have a comment from, who do we have a comment here from? I lost my track here. Oh, Peter. Peter from Electronic Inc., he's the owner. That company produces Print-O-Matic Extra, which we're all familiar with. And Peter says, "Hey, Skip, been listening to your podcast, still catching up on episodes, actually, because I only found out about them a few days ago. And great job. I particularly like to hear what the developers or title creators, for instance, Print-O-Matic end users, are up to, since my focus is typically so far under the hood." That's true. You know what? These extra developers I find, especially from talking to C Extra guys, they don't have a lot of worldly experience with Director. They're so concentrated on creating these extras and really fine tuning things, and they almost lose touch with the rest of the world. Anyways, back to Peter's email. Listening to Chuck Neal talk so well on a variety of interesting topics was a special treat. Yes, it was. Who would have thought that when I started scripting VideoWorks Interactive back in 1988, or when I wrote the first alpha of Print-O-Matic on a DARE in 1993, that I could listen to a talk show devoted to VideoWorks' 10th generation descendant in my car on the way to the grocery store? Anything Print-O-Matic or extras programming related you need for your show, feel free to get in touch with me, Peter. Peter, thank you very much. We've actually been in touch with Peter, and we are going to bring him on for an interview, which is why I bring this up. Now that we're getting ahead of the game here a little bit and we know what's coming up in the near future, what we'd like to have you guys do is email us your questions for our upcoming interviews. That way, we not only our questions, but we can be asking them your questions. So once again, we make this truly interactive for you. So in the very near future, if you have any questions about printing in Director or the Print-O-Matic Extra, send me your questions so I can get these to him, and we can cover them in the next interview. Also, Gretchen McDowell from UpdateStage.com, if you have any questions for her, also email me your questions, and I will make sure, hopefully she'll get them answered for you when we bring her on the show. So right now, I'm not going to, I've tortured you guys for 14 and a half minutes, almost 15 minutes here, and I haven't brought the star of the show on. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, as I promised, Mr. Tom Higgins. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Tom Higgins, previously from Macromedia, now from Adobe. Say hi to everybody, Tom.
Hey, everyone out there. How you doing?
Now, Tom, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're quite a bit of a legend in the director community, but for those of our listeners that are just joining us, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've actually been involved with director.
Well, I've been involved with director for my entire time here at Adobe and previously Macromedia, but prior to that, I had zero experience. So we're about 7.5 years now where I've been using director and helping support, helping test and develop, and now serving as the product manager for it. I've been involved in many aspects of it while working here, and I think I've got a good handle on the product as a whole and whatnot. But as I said, prior to being employed here, I had actually never touched Director nor any other Macromedia product because I was parking cars as a hotel valet and studying towards an advanced physics degree of all things. So I kind of backed into the job in the computer industry and with Director kind of by accident, if you will.
Now, you're currently in San Francisco. Have you always been located in San Francisco?
Yeah, that's correct. I've personally been living here in San Francisco for going on about 17 years or so now. And during my entire time here at Macromedia, I've lived and worked here at the office in San Francisco. We do have employees that are kind of spread around the globe, especially now under Adobe. But I've always liked living and working here in San Francisco. It's a beautiful city, and we've got a fabulous office that I don't want to leave. It's a really nice place.
What's your official title over there at Adobe now?
My official title, if you want to know the full name of it, is that I'm an associate product manager. My job title has shifted a bit on a few occasions here these past few years. For the longest time, I was serving as on the QA team as what we called a product specialist. That was my longest position held here at Macromedia for about 3.5-4 years. And then following the release of DirectorMX 2004, I became product manager. And I was covering both Director and Shockwave until we hired Emmy Wong, and she took over initially the Shockwave player, and I was handling Director. But I'm a technical guy. I like using the product, as folks out there know. I like being involved with the community, and I'm very hands-on with technology. So they made me a technical product manager for quite a while. And that let me focus on development issues and product issues and you know, doing the community evangelism that I do. But now since we moved under Adobe, Emmy Wong had previously moved off and we had somebody else that was filling her position, but they've leveled me back to a standard product manager, which means I'm involved with product marketing and revenue forecasting and things along those lines that aren't strictly technically related.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many people do you have working, if you can answer this, how many people do you have working over there at Adobe working on the director project? The only reason why I bring this up is recently I saw there was a security flaw with the Shockwave.
The install process, yeah.
Correct. And I saw that was quickly taken care of. So there are people working on it. I'm just curious to how big that team really is.
Well, you know, our size varies. So I'm going to give you the number that we've had. We're just finishing up, as I posted to my blog, an update release. And as part of doing some of those efforts, we always pull contractors on during a release cycle. So we have a core team that's typically hovers in the, you know, 9 or 10 range. And then we staff up. And most recently, we're actually just yesterday finished contracts with 3 or 4 folks that have been helping us over numerous different releases. They've got lots of experience with the product. But so at about 9 or 10, and the upside is that moving under Adobe, we're actually planning on staffing up. We're going to be increasing the team size, it seems, which you know, bodes well for us being able to do you know, more work with Director and being able to tackle larger projects. But we do have a team that's working on it. We've got a Shockwave update release coming out. We've got another release that I can't yet mention that's going to be making some news here in a couple weeks as well. So we do have a team on staff. We are able to handle security issues, of course. The one you just mentioned was kind of a priority issue. We always treat security issues with you know, a great deal of respect, because that puts our end users at risk anytime we have something like that out there. And in that particular case, as the security bulletin says, we were able to resolve it within 90 days from being notified of the issue to coming up with a fix, implementing that, and then testing and releasing that. And that's the way we always want to handle security issues. So long way of answering your question, somewhere about 9 or 10 full-time staff. The number will go up with contractors and potentially adding additional staff going forward.
So based on your last answer, to our users out there, you have no idea how many emails we've monitored the user groups. And, you know, the big question is, what is Adobe going to do with Director? Is it a dead product? Is it a buried product? Obviously, you can't say anything in particular, but it does sound like there is a bright horizon in the near future.
I can say very specifically, it is not a dead product. There are plans to continue developing Director and Shockwave. I understand the developer concerns. You know, I'm out there on the mailing lists and the news groups as well. And, you know, so I understand where kind of the concern and some of the angst about not knowing where is Director going, and are people getting the same kind of news that, you know, I mean, obviously we hear a lot about Flash, and we hear a lot about, you know, Reader and PDF under Adobe. And, you know, Director isn't quite in the same limelight as those. And so I understand that those concerns, but it's not dead. We are working on projects now. We have plans going forward. And I know a lot of folks out there, they hear me say this a lot, but they want to see concrete, like roadmap kind of information. And so that's one of the things that I'm supposed to work on with my new coworkers here at Adobe, and part of our business unit is to come up with that roadmap and then hopefully try and turn some of that into outward facing information so that people out there can make appropriate business decisions about the tools that they use and feel comfortable with not only Director, but any other product that they want to use from Adobe. So I know where that's coming from, but we're not dead. We're still here, and I hope so, because that means I still have a job.
I think I hear a big sigh of relief coming across the airwaves right now. That I think that everybody really wanted to hear you say that. So that actually is very good. You know, it's quite interesting. We've actually been a Director development house for quite some time now, and we see a big surge currently in the Director market. A ton more kiosk applications. You know, Director has become much more powerful over the years for actually full-fledged software applications. So we happen to see a huge surge in the Director community as far as product development, which, you know, that's why all of us, I guess, were concerned that it was going to disappear.
You know, I mean, even we at this side, we can kind of feel that there's still a definite market for Director, and that there are some, you know, as you're saying, some surges in certain areas. I mean, whether you're talking about kind of the desktop application environment, which I kind of put kiosks in that because we're talking about things offline, or you talk about things that are online, mostly around some of the games and simulation and training development. You know, we're seeing Shockwave install numbers on a day-to-day rate that are higher than they were any time in the past couple of years. Our sales are definitely not sagging that would indicate why, you know, Adobe would want to terminate the product. And so I think a lot of that's why Adobe has decided to stand behind Director and to continue support the people that are buying and using, you know, find, you know, the right way to take care of those users and developers that are out there with the product.
Now, all of us know out there that, you know, Flash versus the Shockwave plugin, there's a huge footprint in the Shockwave plugin. Is there any plans in the future of possibly getting that file size, that download size down to a more manageable and easier to install, you know, file size?
Well, you know, improving the Shockwave install experience is always a goal, and I heard a sigh of relief before, and I hear a lot of snickering in the audience right now because I know that registration and the redirect is a bit of a pain point for folks. But in terms of trying to make the installer smaller, make it more successful, try to get it out there on machines by default, those are always things that we're trying to work on. It's just in certain ways where, you know, we're a bit more limited than Flash is because our core player size, it is a bit larger because we have, you know, a more full feature set. We have our extensibility layer and some of those things. But we're always trying to get that file size down. And, you know, most recently we did that by going with the slim install option where we only install the kind of core set of needed extras to begin with. In addition, we're trying to evaluate some other compression technologies, ways to trim down our core source code size and whatnot. So it's always a goal for us. I don't have specific plans. I can tell you that we're doing X, Y, or Z to achieve that, but it's always something we're looking at every release cycle. How can we make the installer smaller? How can we make the footprint smaller? How can we get pre-installed? All of that working within the scope that we do have some of the, you know, the non-silent options in the installer. Those are things that I don't foresee going away immediately, but we're working with our partners, notably Shockwave.com, to see if we can find a way to be mutually beneficial and ease that process. So that's always a goal for us, Skip.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think a lot of us would use this Shockwave applications on the internet more and more. Not just, I know it's very popular for gaming right now, but mm-hmm. you know, Shockwave itself can be an extremely powerful plugin. But I guess for our users coming to our website, we just don't want that extra hassle right now of them going through that. So definitely lowering the footprint and having it pre-installed in machines would be a huge benefit. And I think we'd see a big surge also in maybe additional director development, you know, as people realized how powerful a tool director was and how you could implement it on the internet.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, again, I realize the kind of the pain and discomfort that developers have when they're trying to sell a technology to a client. You're developing a more business-like application or something. And then, you know, the person you're trying to sell it to has to go through the install process, and they see the dialogues, they see the redirect and the need to register. And so, you know, we understand that that's something from, you know, days gone by that is not quite so optimal for developers now. You know, again, we're in a partnership with Shockwave.com on the registration and redirect. And, you know, we don't want to have an adversarial relationship. So we're actually having a lot of dialogue with them to try and see how do we move forward together in an appropriate way. But we, you know, I do understand that that's a tough thing for developers. And so I have a lot of sympathy there and, you know, trying to work and see what we can do for folks because we want it to be successful. And I think there's some clear ways that developers think we can do better there. So I'm trying to take that advice to heart.
Excellent. Yeah. What? Just a little history about your background use with Director. What is the mm-hmm. first version of Director that you ever remember using?
Well, you know, as I said before, I had never seen or touched Director before I got hired here at Macromedia, and I got initially hired on in technical support, taking phone calls on Director. So I had about a week and a half, 2 weeks crash course to like really dive in and learn Director. And that was actually using version 6 and 6.5, because that's when I was hired on. We hadn't yet released Director 7. I was asked to look a little bit into Director 5. Quite honestly, I didn't spend much time on it because it was just for background information and I wasn't quite so comfortable with it. But it was really Director 6 and 6.5 that where I cut my teeth on using the product. Those 2 weeks, I went home every day with Director and sat up till 2 in the morning because I think it lasted about 30 minutes here at the company before I really just fell in love with the product and really kind of got a grip on what it allows people to do. My background was as I was studying, as I said, for physics and was doing a bit of some C++ programming, and it was mostly numerical calculations. And I came into Director, and there I was able to make windowed applications and have graphics and sound and everything. And it was all very simple. And, you know, as I said, the love affair started right away. And in those 2 weeks, I probably logged close to 90 or so hours of actually working in Director you know, really took off on it. But it was Director 6 and 6.5, and I've been deeply involved with every release ever since, all the way up through to today.
Well, I think that's interesting. You talk about your love affair with Director, and I think that's what makes the Director community so strong is once somebody starts using Director, it really is a piece of software that you enjoy using because it has such power. And really, you're only limited to your imagination. Anything you can think of, you can literally do in Director. Even rapid prototyping, we've really gotten into that lately. You know, for big budget projects, they want to create a prototype and run it to their investors and stuff like that. I mean, it's such a beautiful application. In a couple hours, you can put something together that looks like it's fully functional and a really powerful presentation tool.
You know, exactly. It's funny. I'm going to put myself in a little bit of danger here because I'll mention I have an instant message handle that is appropriately chosen as Lingo Junkie, because you know I just once I got to using the product it was a bit of an addiction for me, and quite literally for 3 years I lived with a guy who worked in Macromedia's creative services department. And it was almost a bad thing that we were both so into the technology because we would go home and we would just sit there till 2 in the morning. This was during the development of Director 8.5 specifically. And that's all we did is we worked and then we went home and we talked shop because it was such a fun thing, such a powerful thing to do that, you know, it really draws you in quite easily because it does let you do so much so fast.
Yeah, I think all of us who are into Director have woken up in the middle of the night and ran to the computer and written some lingo just just to get it out of their head so they can go back to sleep. It's very addictive. I know for my sake anyways. You know, you've been working with Director for a while and Director can really do so much. It's really hard to nail down a title of Director. What is this product? What have you found to be the biggest challenge with marketing or the development on the previous versions of Director? It's got to be hard for you when you came over to Adobe, to sit down and tell them, hey, this is what Director does, because it does everything.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's exactly it. And, you know, one of the analogies that's often been used about Director is that it's the Swiss Army knife, right? It can do anything. It's, you know, it'll slice, it'll dice, it'll cube your vegetables for you. And I think that's actually, it's a strength, and it's a big weak point, because people don't want to have to hear something so broad in general. And, you know, continuing on that analogy is, you know, when you need a pair of scissors, you don't go get your Swiss Army knife to use the little scissors. You go find a pair of dedicated scissors. When you need a knife, you go get a dedicated knife, not the Swiss Army knife version. You only use the Swiss Army knife when it's kind of around and it's the thing that's there. And so I think that kind of comes across in our messaging, that people aren't really clear on, well, it's a bit too broad. Can you narrow it down? How do you crystallize that view, just like you said? So I think it's just that broad general nature of the product that's made it tough. And it also makes it tough to select features as well, because we have so many different developer types, all of whom have different needs and desires and what they want to see added to the product, that it's kind of hard to make everybody happy, if you will. I mean, there's the game developer set that really wants to see a 3D improvement. You have the desktop application developer set that really wants to see things like, you know, OS native controls and things like that. And, you know, I mean, I know that those are some key areas that can appeal across all users, but it's so broad, it's so big, it's so wide in scope, that I think that's definitely been the biggest problem, is trying to identify how do we sell people on a product that it's hard to nail down and describe. You know, coming into here at Adobe and trying to teach people, like, what is Director, I think actually wasn't so tough, because I have so much time to do it with them. I don't have to do it in one 10-minute meeting. I don't have to do it on one data sheet. You know, if I have to have 5 hours of meetings, I can do that. We don't have that time when you're trying to market to somebody that's outside our walls. You've got about 5 minutes. If you don't get their attention and you don't get them on the hook in 5 minutes, you unfortunately lose a lot of people. They're going to go to something that they can wrap their head around and understand. And so it's getting that hook for someone and finding the right way to talk to that specific user that we really have to work on a bit better going forward.
Now, I'd hate to see this happen, but it has crossed my mind, and you probably can't even answer this question, but since there is such a drastic difference in users out there, for instance, I think in 8.5, really the Shockwave 3D lingo started to come into play, is there the risk of the product being split up into a couple core applications?
Well, I'm hedging on that. I can say yes and no. I don't necessarily like to call it a risk. I think there's always going to be Director, the core application you know today. And one of the areas that we've had some talk now and in the past couple of years is really specifically around 3D in particular. And that, you know, maybe we need to consider the idea that there's some additional you know, add-on applications that focus maybe on games development, things like that, where it's not that we take the Director you have today and cut it into three or four small bits. It's that going forward, we might look at how do we do parallel development projects. So there's a core Director being developed, and then maybe a parallel project that focuses more specifically on games and 3D development because of the complexity and nature of that feature set. So you may see things like that where they're parallel, you know, products that work together. But those are just very theoretical ideas. Nothing like that has really panned out into concrete plans, because we don't want to fracture the product too much. So when you use the language, is there a risk of that? We are avoiding making it a risky maneuver. We only want to do it if it makes sense and it's the right thing. Mm-hmm. So there's been some talk about it, but it hasn't really gained enough traction yet to be a realistically considered item. But, you know, to be frank and honest, it's something that we talk about. We talk about a lot of different options around Director, because we have to explore all those different channels to decide if they're really the right thing or the wrong thing to do. And, you know, we've gone from mild to wild around here in terms of what do we think about when we talk about Director in the future.
Yeah, you know, you use Director every single day. If you look in your extras directory, what do you find as an extra that you have that you just can't live without, that you find yourself using over and over and over again?
Well, I mean, I think for me, the knee-jerk response, if you're talking like, you know, third-party extras in specific, I think Buddy API has been the one extra that I've probably used the most in terms of, you know, when I'm developing, whether, you know, I've developed a number of internal applications, we have a test harness that's built entirely using Director, or, you know, demos and whatnot. And I'd have to say Buddy API is probably the one thing I most immediately run to on a regular basis. You know, outside of that, I think there are lots of others. I've spent a lot of time with, you know, the integration new media extras, you know, whether I'm doing database access or you go to other ones like Master App or even OS Controls. You know, I mean, I think there's a, you know, an easy set of the top six or 10 extras that are always there. But I've platooned around and used lots and lots of third-party extras over the years just to try and see what people are doing with the product in general. But I think Buddy API, if you're going to corner me to one, that's my one answer.
I think that's probably the most common answer out there. We had Chuck Neal on a few weeks ago, and he said exactly the same thing. And I can't say there's one project that doesn't have Buddy API somehow utilized in it.
One of the things I want to tap into, and it's another one of the items I've been talking to folks about, like on some of the lists, is that, you know, and I say that, and I think in my mind, I immediately wonder, and I think people wonder, well, if we have to go to a third party to get technology that seems so necessary for everyone, why isn't that type of thing in the product out of the box, right? I mean, if everybody's using the Buddy APIs, the OS controls, those kinds of extras, why are we not delivering that by default? And, you know, to that end, I think we need to do a much better job of working with our extra developers and finding ways to promote ourselves together and to, you know, they know that that's there. When we talk to the new potential developer, we explain there's this extensibility layer, but then we don't really take them to the third-party extras and show them what's really available and out there. And I think it's via those third parties that they've really developed a lot of the power of Director. And, you know, we need to do better to support and promote those folks. And so that's something I think we're going to work on here in this coming year. And I want to do a lot of outreach to those folks, whether it's the Buddy APIs or Integration New Media or, you know, whoever. You can name any number of developers out there for extras. So
now there are a few core functionalities I see missing in Director right now. I guess one of the biggest issues is printing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a few companies out there. Some have come and gone. I believe CXtra has a new one coming out. But I see that as one of the core functionalities that really needs to be looked at in the delivery of mm-hmm. Director, because it's something all of us developers have to deal with, is printing your project, whether that be a screenshot or you know, a text file formatting out into a document or something like that. And mm-hmm. I hear a lot of complaints about that just from listeners. A lot of listeners now have started to contact us because they realize we have the ears of yourself mm-hmm. and other people mm-hmm. out there, and this has become a resource for them to kind of vent their issues and let sure. you guys know what their frustrations are.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, sure, you cite printing. I think in my mind, there's a few others. You know, our level of text support, you know, lack of Unicode support. You know, like I talked before about, you know, there's no OS native controls. We opted to go for Flash component support in Director MX 2004, which a lot of folks have expressed dismay over why we did that versus some of these other core functional items. And, you know, I mean, I agree. I think those are items that are showing that, you know, a little bit of the age of Director, where we've spent a lot of time in the past, you know, bolting on snazzy new features, whether you 3D or DVD support, and we haven't yet kind of gone back and done a, you know, an audit of our core functionality and how do we improve just, you know, the basics, the bread and butter features that folks use every day, not the sexy new media feature. And so to that end, you know, I mean, I think those are things that we need to focus on in coming releases. We need to stop growing the feature set and looking for, you know, as I said, the new whiz bang extra. And instead, look at core features like printing. Look at core features like text and Unicode support, platform support, core performance, Flash performance in Director, because these are the things that span all developer types. You know, I talked about earlier, it's hard to like do the right thing for all of our different users. I think printing is one of the things that does the right thing for all of our users. Improving text support does the right thing for all of our users. And so yes, we definitely need to address those. And, you know, tapping back into what I was saying about third-party extras, you know, I'm not at all interested in putting folks out of business that have long been providing support for our product through extras development. So instead, I want to look for ways where we can work together. Potentially, you know, do we license extras for inclusion in the product? Do we license extras to simply include on the goodies folder and start using that a bit more to expose people to these third-party solutions so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel? You know, there are good, viable printing solutions out there. Maybe we need to leverage those, and then we can focus on text and Unicode support as part of our core player. So we're trying to do a little more creative thinking of how we can work together with the extra developers community. And, you know, we do the work that we need to do and maybe rely on others and help their business as well and take care of those missing feature areas. Because like you said, everybody uses printing in some way or another. Everybody uses text. So we need to address those and make our product stronger at its core, you know.
I got an interesting email this last week from a user. It was actually not a copyright issue. I guess maybe a legal issue. You may or may not be able to answer this. Are you familiar with, I believe it's Gold Shell. It's you can change the icon and copyright information of, for instance, a director icon once you produce your executable
the
file.
The projector.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Does that in any way violate, if you do that, change your icon, change some of the copyright information, does that in any way violate any of the, well, I guess now would be Adobe licensing agreement?
Well, you know, I'm gonna avoid answering the question and first kind of provide the general disclaimer I have. I get a lot of questions from folks saying, is it legal or okay for me to do X, Y, or Z, whether it's develop a particular application type, whether it's to change the icon or information like you're asking for. And I mean, ultimately, the answer in any question like this where you're wondering about the legality or does this violate the end user license agreement is, I have to tell you, the official answer is you need to consult with your own attorney. The only person that will ultimately decide whether it's legal to do something or not is a judge if it goes to court, right? Until then, we're a bunch of director developers or a bunch of engineering types that are trying to interpret a legal document. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm not a lawyer, right? I didn't go to law school. And I can't give binding legal advice in any situation. The only thing I can offer you is kind of what is my impression of it, which isn't any more or less valuable than another developer's impression because I don't have any more legal experience than others do. So with that in mind, the raging huge disclaimer that I am not a lawyer, that you need to consult with your own attorney, that type of thing does not seem to me to be in violation of the end user license agreement. It is certainly not an issue to be changing a projector icon. If it was, we wouldn't have implemented that feature in DirectorMX 2004 where, right. You know, there's a way within the application to do that kind of a thing. So, no, on the surface, I don't think that's illegal. I think that's a very safe thing for people to do. As the product manager for it, I wouldn't take any issue if I saw a developer doing that. But again, I think in the end, if you really want to protect your own business and make sure that you're not going to be at risk going forward, that's the kind of thing that if you ultimately wanted to know, you should check ICE for you. But I see nothing wrong with that kind of activity.
Very good answer and no answer on that one.
Well, you know, I get good at those kinds of things in this position, so I'm used to doing that dance.
I bet you do. without giving anything away, where do you really see the future of Director going? I know we've touched on some things here within this discussion. But I guess Director has taken some major changes in the past few years. Where do you see the future of Director?
Well, you know, I think the reality is sinking in for a lot of us that, you know, it's obvious that Flash is really the development platform of focus here at Adobe. Now, that does not mean that Director isn't going to continue forward, but we can't continue this almost like a, you know, adversarial relationship with them where we're trying to kind of outpace each other because they're a larger team and they get more resources and so they can tackle a larger agenda. So for Director, I think in general, we need to kind of crystallize that view of what do we think Director is really good at doing that are unique to our product. And so I think we kind of need to narrow our focus down a little bit. And I think it's the desktop application development environment, whether you're talking kiosks or installed applications that get sent around on CD or whatnot. We need to focus on kind of games and simulation training development. And then, you know, we need to look at how we are as kind of an extensibility layer for Flash content. And those are three key areas we can focus on and kind of try and go after those with all of our strength and might, because then we're taking on problems that we can win. We can carve out, you know, more of exclusive niches for ourselves apart from where Flash or other products here might want to go. So I think it's kind of looking at those types of items and then along the lines of what feature sets appeal to those development markets and how do we tackle those and kind of go for those directions. I think in the short term, our big efforts are really going to be around platform compatibility. Everybody knows right now that the Macintosh has changed significantly with now being an Intel-driven hardware.
Yes.
We need to look at going to universal binaries. The player, Shockwave, is going to go first, and then we need to get director authoring and projectors. We all know that Vista, Microsoft's next-generation operating system, lies not too far out on the horizon. That's another big platform shift that we're going to need to move through. So, you know, I think we need to focus on those key developer types. How do we satisfy those people? And then we need to look at platform compatibility, because Director is going to be behind the times here if we don't get on that in the next 12 months and bring ourselves up to date with being able to deliver on the platforms we're on now to adapt to those changes. And then, of course, we need to keep our eyes always on new platforms to move on to, whether that's participating in a mobile effort with our Flash brethren or looking for other more traditional desktop environments. I hear the Linux crowd out there crying for a Shockwave player and projector. Yes. Playback, of course. So we need to keep a close eye on those because, the time is ripe. Maybe we need to be moving on those. And so I think it's those directions. Focus on key developer types. How do we really go after those? Because those are bread and butter markets for Director. A lot of folks are involved in that. And then how do we keep ourselves current on platforms that are out there today so that we can continue to expand our market?
Now, you mentioned earlier that you have some new announcements around the horizon. So my last question for you is, in what kind of time frame can we expect those announcements? Are we talking a quarter, 6 months, a year? What are we looking at?
Well, for those that read my blog, there are announcements and good news around Director, and that we are fast upon a Shockwave player update release. We are about to release. It's a dot release. It's just a player update, but it includes new Flash 8 asset extra. It includes some security bug fixes, some bug fixes around QuickTime. So that's coming out immediately. I've already posted to my blog about that. I haven't given an estimate on the time of release, but you can think in terms of weeks for that. Beyond that, we have another announcement that you'll be hearing within the quarter or so. And then I think you'll be hearing more once we get to mid to end of year. So there's going to be a lot of news around Director. So you're going to be hearing stuff kind of in staged rollouts throughout the year that we're going to have some news coming. So I hope developers can bear with us just a little bit longer till we can start getting that stuff out the door for you, but it's coming. We have stuff in a couple of weeks, we have stuff in a couple of months, and then we'll have more by the end of the year. So I think that developers will hear a lot of good news this year.
Speaking of your blog, go ahead and plug your blog for those of you, or for those of our listeners that don't know where it is on the internet.
Sure. Well, it's still a holdover from the Macromedia days. So it's at weblogs.macromedia.com/Thiggins. That's THIGGINS. And that's, my blog where I post up the information that I can about future directions, where we're going. I can post up about content that I see that's out there. And, I try to be active among the developer community. I'm a little bit old school in that I come from the mailing list and news group generation. I'm trying to pick up on the blog format because it's a really nice way to get information out there. And I can explain things once and have a central conversation instead of trying to describe it on six different lists and news groups in different ways. So, I encourage folks to check my blog. I'm open for any sorts of comments or questions that folks have. As I mentioned to you in preparing for this interview, I try not to duck questions. I would rather deal with people openly and honestly. And if there's a question that I can't answer, I'll just be honest and say I can't answer that. And I'd rather we did that than somebody not ask the question. So I definitely try and use that as a way to share information, to share, what I find neat about development that's out there. And so I hope folks find my blog useful and can get some good information from it.
I think I saw over at Director Online, Gary over there has got a link to your RSS feed, so people can easily see your most recent blog entries, which is quite nice.
Yeah, or they can use the Macromedia, the news aggregator as well, is another good option for folks, because then that not only captures, my blog in particular, but it'll capture anyone that is, posting about Director that asked to have their feeds added. So that's another good option that folks can consider. And that's if you just go to weblogs.macromedia.com/MXNA. So MXNA. And there's a link on the right for a Director category. You'll keep up to date on my blog, on Gary's blog, the Developer Dispatch, or anyone else that has it linked from there. That's another very good resource.
That is a very good resource. So is there anything else you want to talk about, Director, before we close out this interview?
I just want to leave folks again with the idea that the Director is, it's not a dead product. You know, as I said, it's the biggest developer concern is what's happening with Director under Adobe. And, you know, I fully understand that it's difficult to wade through some of this when there's not as much news and information on the new Adobe website as folks would like. There is a huge effort underway right now at the combined company to get the next generation website done. We have these two massive websites that we're merging together, so it's really hard to affect a lot of change right now because the real effort is on that new website that's out there on the horizon. So when that goes up, we're going to see some more information on it about Director. Director will be listed on the Adobe website on their products page. We have Developer Center articles in the queue stacked up. We have another one coming out in a couple of weeks. Craig Mentor just wrote one on SCORM. You know, we're trying. There's a lot of information on the horizon, and so I think if folks can just bear with us for another few weeks to a couple of months, you're going to start seeing all that come out, and you won't have to just believe me. You can go to the website and see it. But I'm here. If folks ever have questions to ask about Director, they need to talk to someone. I'm very open for the developer community, and I will give out my email address. I get enough spam as it is, so I don't think it could get any worse by sharing it. If anybody ever has questions about Director, you're feeling nervous, you have a licensing question, you have a problem that you're not having solved in the public forums, I'm here. My email address is THIGGINS, that's THIGGINS@adobe.com. I'm always open. I'm always available. If folks want to send me an email and ask me a question, I try to be very accessible because that's the one thing I can personally do to try and alleviate the concerns and get information out there. So I'm here for you folks. You guys are my customers. You're the ones that keep me employed. So I need to do what I can to support you. So use me if you need to.
Tom, I thank you very much for joining us today. And I know our listeners definitely appreciate hearing you and hearing somebody over at Adobe. And kind of quieting their concerns a little bit. And as you know, Adobe makes new announcements in regards to the Director product, we, you know, shoot us product release information, whatever you have. And hopefully we can get you back on the show when some of the bigger announcements come on and you can explain things a little bit further for our listening audience.
Sure. I don't mind that at all. I think your podcast is a great way to get information out there to folks that want to hear it in podcast as opposed to blog form, as opposed to reading the website. So I think you guys are offering a great resource. I'm happy to come back and do future episodes anytime that you or your listeners deem it necessary. So if there's a clamoring for a return visit every quarter or on a regular basis, I'm happy to do whatever I can. I think this is a great opportunity to get the word out to folks. So I'm here if you need me for that, Skip.
Thank you once again. And listeners, you've been listening to Tom Higgins from Adobe Systems, and we'll hear from him in the near future.
Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, so how cool was that? Thanks, Tom. I appreciate your time here on the Director Podcast. And I know the audience loved that. Thank you very much. That pretty much does it here for the Director Podcast, episode number 7. Remember, we need feedback. We need feedback. So send us your feedback. Send it to director@magicgate.com. Or do like Marcel did this week and send us a voice comment. We love those voice comments. You can send them to 954-840-3677. Or this is a Skype voicemail system, so you could just use our Skype ID, which is Magic Gate Software, all one word, all lowercase. And Skype us from anywhere in the world. Don't forget our website location. It's magicgate.com/podcast. There you can find all the information about this show, all of our other previous episodes. You can get show notes. You can sign up to our RSS feed, find out about our contest, all that fun stuff. Speaking of our contest, don't forget to submit your entries before the end of this month. March 31st is the cutoff date for our contest entries, so get them to us. You have the chance of winning the Word Wrangler Extra or the Firefly Lite Extra from MediaMacros.net. And remember, coming up next week, we have an interview with Gretchen McDowell from UpdateStage.com. So email us your questions for her or give us a voice comment as well. That would be cool. Or in addition, also we have our upcoming interview with Peter from Electronics Inc., the creators of or the current owners of Print-O-Matic. We'll work that out with him when we talk to him. So if you have any questions about Print-O-Matic and all that fun stuff, shoot us an email in regards to that also. And tune again next week for the Director Podcast, where once again we talk about the software that we all love to use. Taking us out of the show this week, all the way from the PodSafe Music Network, we have a cool band. The band's name is Hey Tiger, and the song is called Elizabeth. Thanks, folks. See you next week.
Elizabeth lives in paradise, and she drives a fancy car. She's arrogant, but she's always nice if she remembers who you are. And she's pretty like a dream, and she'll always cause a scene. It's a pity.
Director Podcast.